Good morning, Cold Springs Church, brothers and sisters. We're going to start off with a song, so if you would please join us in the standard. Psalm 40, 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. We're doing a new song. It's called My Feet Are on the Rock.
Ooh, ooh, I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock.
Ooh, ooh,
I can feel the waters rise. I can hear the
Lord, we are sinners, but our ransom's been paid by the blood of Jesus. We have been saved. We sing together for all to hear. Yes, we believe. As we are walking through this troubled world, you give us hope and strength. Thank you.
God in heaven, and here I am on earth. So I let my words be few. Jesus, I am so
I'll stand in awe of you, Jesus. Yes, I'll stand. Yes, I'll stand in awe of you, and I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so
praise you, Jesus.
With shout of acclamation.
see this up on the screen. I'm kind of changing what we were going to do. Can you read this with me and put the passion of the love of Jesus into it, okay? Here we go, 2 Samuel 7:22. Therefore, you are great. There is none like you. And there is no God beside you, according to all of that we have heard with our ears. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Ms. Smith, we don't have a...
Okay, and children are dismissed.
Yes. We don't have a testimony... We don't have a testimony this week unless somebody... The Lovelock group didn't get back last night until about 1:45 this morning. About 1:30, 1:45, somewhere. It was after... there's a 1:30 p.m. There's also a 1:30 a.m. And so, but the Lovelock group didn't get back from Lovelock until 1:30. And so I just didn't have time to ask anybody to do any of that. I tell you what, though, we do have some testimonies coming up. I'm giving the guilt look to some people. We have some testimonies coming up that are going to be really good. So I'm just going to share a little bit of testimony about Lovelock last night. So some of you don't know, we have a church in Lovelock that has been, handed over to us as a mission church. And so on Saturdays and Wednesdays, we go out also to Lovelock, and we have a church in a sense. We worship and we do a Bible study, developing leaders. I don't think any of us thought that it would be easy.
Yes, ma'am.
But you just don't know the difficulties that are going to come until they happen. And so in Lovelock, there's been some difficulties coming that have just been building up and stuff like that. And so different things have happened and transpired from all of this. But this week there was just a really good time.
I'll try.
There was a really good time of people getting to share and people just getting to, like, okay, here's where my offense is, here's where this is, and some time of apology and just some time of working some stuff out. And so it wasn't like, oh, man, it was like 1:30. No. There was some heartbreak in it, of course. There was some heartbreak that came as a part, but also there was a lot of healing that took place. And so the testimony is just, one thing that just the Lord just keeps making clear is we just need to trust Him and trust His process, right? It's not our goals. It's not the things that we establish. It's not the things that we think need to happen. It's not our timeline. It's none of that. We just have to continue to trust God, to continue to seek Him and trust His process and His timeline. And so, again, it was bittersweet. It was bittersweet last night. But I tell you, God is on the move. I want you to, if you've lost hope, don't lose hope. Don't ever lose hope. Don't ever lose hope. As dark as Lovelock is, and it's dark spiritually, it's a very dark place. If you've gone there with us,
your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Come with us one Saturday, and you'll see it. But there's a light. There is a light, and it's right now. It's just a little flicker. But you know what the Holy Spirit does, right? And so that's. I tell you what, last night seemed to be the start of that. And so there was some healing and some stuff. And so just keep praying. Again, if you want to serve, there's plenty of places to serve. Come check it out. Just come and just be in prayer. Come be a part. So God's on the move for sure out there in Lovelock, and things are happening. And so the best thing we can do is just continue to persevere. Amen? And so we do have some testimonies that are going to be coming up. You're going to hear some great testimonies. All testimonies are great.
All testimonies are great. Anytime you can share the amazing things that God has done and is doing in our lives, it draws
us together and it strengthens us and encourages us. That's why we take a little bit of testimony time on Sunday mornings. But you don't have to wait. Okay, let me encourage you. You don't have to wait till Sunday to hear somebody's testimony. As soon as church is over, like, don't ask them now, okay? It's like, don't ask them now. As soon as church is over, go to the fellowship hall, get some coffee or some snacks, get whatever, and say, hey, you know what? I just want to hear your testimony.
I can't get an answer from either
that's
one of
freak
them.
Some people up.
Okay, yeah, I tried Connie also. So either their phones are buried in their purses or they have them on silent.
Like if they're like this, it's okay. Maybe
I don't know about
my
sissy.
I don't know about any of them. I mean,
I know.
I say to Kathy, I say, well, you got a phone, but you don't answer. Well, good is it?
Yeah.
Anyhow, if I hear from them, I'll let you know.
All right, hey, we're going to.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. How many of you have a younger sibling? Or maybe, okay, so how many of you have an older sibling? How many of you have both, and so you know what it is to be the tortured middle child, right? The middle children always have a office, and I'm just
call your sister.
Boat, right?
All
right.
But
she tried to get hold of you.
So you have siblings, right?
All right.
Here's the thing. Any, like, single kid, like, you were just the lone kid, you were raised, you had no siblings, any of you? You have siblings. You might not want to claim them, but you have them. You have a lot of them. Only children. Only children. Okay. Only children. So you don't know what we're talking about. You guys were spoiled. So just listen. Listen. How about this? Those of you with siblings, you ever have to, like, split a candy bar? Right? No. Right, because you were spoiled, too. Here's the thing. You ever have to split it? Listen, I'm going to say some famous words that you've probably uttered or heard. You split, okay, pick. Choose. You split, I choose. It just flows better, right? Okay, you split, I choose. Now that we've got the non-theological settled, you split, I choose. Who's partaken in that? Come on, put your hands up. You split, I choose. Okay? How many of you like the choosing part better? Just be honest. You're in church. Be honest. Why do you like the choosing part better? Because you get the biggest piece, right? Thank you for not being like, oh, because I wanted to make sure that my brother got the bigger piece. Thank you for being honest. Right. But that's the truth of it. The truth of you split, I choose, and being quick to be like, just fire that out. Like, you split, I choose, right? How about this one? You fly, I buy, right? And so you're like, well, that's kind of like a 50-50 because, like, you don't have to drive, but you're going to buy. But what's true in all of these is we make these little concessions or we make these little deals or these little things that sound really cool and sound really fair for us to get what we want, right? For us to really get what, because here's the thing. If your older brother says, okay, you split, I choose, I'm telling you, like, there's we family of carpenters, tape measures. You know exactly how big a Snicker bar is. And you know exactly where half is, right? And so you're like, just like, because I'm going to make sure. When you're the one splitting, you're making sure you get your, everything we do in life, we're always looking out for our benefit. It's just the truth. It's not until Christ actually makes a change where we start to actually, for a moment, or maybe just even once in a while, we actually start to look out for the benefit of the other instead of ourselves. And it's only in Christ. And it's only in those moments where we're actually surrendered to him where we actually do that. Because how many of you still have your siblings, right? And you're like, okay, if we still got to do the I split, you split, I choose, I'm still picking the choose, right? And so it's not until we are deliberately seeking Christ and what his, not just his mandates, but what the love of Christ actually looks like, will we live according to what he's calling us to and actually what he enables us to. And so it's really, really hard for us to make sure that others are staying better than ourselves. It just is. We might be getting better at it with time, but you're only getting better at it because Christ is in you or because Christ is motivating you or moving you or encouraging you to do so. How about when it comes to something that's very dear to you? We live in a time and we live in a place where rights, right? Everything, I have a right. And rights has been something, you know, we're always fighting for our rights and we're always fighting. How about this? How about in Christ, you have no rights of your own? How about that? And so when we get to this portion of 1 Corinthians, we're going to be in chapter 6. We're going to read the first, I think, 11 verses. He's going to talk about some lawsuits and stuff. And it almost seems weird because you're like, well, wait, we just, the end of chapter 5, now remember, Paul wrote a letter, so he didn't say, like, and at the end of chapter 5, I want to end with this, and chapter 6, I want to begin with this. So, like, he's got a flow, right? There's a flow in his thought process and in what he's addressing. And so chapter 5 ends with all this sexual immorality and all this stuff, and you're like, and then now he goes to lawsuits. So the basis isn't just lawsuits and sexual immorality. This, because guess what? In the end of chapter 6 here, he's going to start, and he's going to bring the whole sexual immorality and all this kind of stuff back. And so you're like, so why is this whole part of this lawsuit? And the basis of all of this is because of the rights. People are fighting and declaring that they have rights that realistically we don't have. And so this is where the problem comes. And, well, this is just one of the problems. You remember the church at Corinth here, they have a few issues. They have a few issues, which we see, and we've already talked about some of the issues. And you remember Paul's writing this letter for the church to correct. There's certain things that need to be corrected. You know, Jesus does this in Revelation. Remember, he writes these letters to the churches and he says, hey, here's the deal. This is what you're doing well, but this is what I have against you. And he's not like, so boom, you're done. He says, no, correct these things. Fix these things. We talked about in our Next Steps class this morning, we talked about how this place, right? How many of you want to go to church with a bunch of perfect Christians? Right? So we're all, just don't keep your hands in your pocket. In reality, we expect when we come to this place that everybody's supposed to be perfect. And everybody's supposed to look exactly like Jesus. That's not the church. And I don't say this really, it's because it's full of us. And so we expect to come to the perfect church when we're not. The perfect church is on the other side of glory, just so you know. And so we expect to come to the perfect church instead of expecting to come into this place to where we're still working stuff out. That God calls us here because you know where the enemy is? The enemy is outside. And the enemy is not the people outside. The enemy is the enemy controlling the outside. That's the enemy. You know why we come here? Because we stumble. You know why we come here? Because we forget. You know why we come here? Because things happen to us. And so we come and we encourage and we build up and we equip each other to go and fight the battle that he's called us to be on the mission that he's called us to. And so guess what happens? We come here and it's a little messy. Right? I don't know about you, just think about this. You ever go to church, you're like, man, I just don't want to see that one person. Because that one person just kind of like, ugh. We think we have the right to not be disturbed or perturbed or put out by somebody else when you know what they need? Is they need the love of Christ so that they can grow and be strengthened and be edified and go out and do what God's called them to do. And so when we come to the church, now here's the thing. We should expect some mess, okay? I just want you to... Now, this is not like, hey, I want you to come in, like, don't tie your shoes and all that. No. Listen, we should expect some mess spiritually and in our lives. Because this is where we come to get healed. This is where we come to get restored. Here's the problem. We shouldn't expect it to continue. I shouldn't have the same thing going on, that, you know, in 5 years, in 1 year, whatever the timeline is. I shouldn't have the same thing. Because you know what it means? I'm not growing. I'm not healing. I'm not. And so we should have this mess. If there's people who are just still dealing with the same thing, are we, there's a few questions, before we put it on them, are we as a church coming around them and giving them what they need? Are we being sensitive to the Spirit and helping them to grow and to mature? Or do we cast them aside because they're not the perfect Christian? Because, man, we want this church to be full of all these people who worship perfectly, all these people who pray beautifully, and all these people who never seem to have any sin or any stumbling or anything like that. And that's just not church, guys. Just not church. And so when we put our rights aside, we understand and we can serve one another like Christ has called us to. And so this is the issue at Corinth. And so he's going to talk about some lawsuits. And so we're going to read, chapter 6. We're going to read the first 11 verses. And so if you'll stand as we read this together. Those of you who are visitors, we have some guest bags, some visitor bags for you out there that has one of these little scripture journals in it. And this is the book of 1 Corinthians, and it's a scripture journal. It's in the ESV. It's in the ESV translation, but it's a thing you can mark up, you can highlight. It's got a place for notes. We want to make sure that you get one of those. And so, if you didn't get one when you came in, would you please just make sure you grab one? That, like, this is, you know, anybody in here, you're like, I don't want to mark my Bible up. Well, here's the thing: you got something you can mark up. So please make sure you get one of those. Make sure you get one of those when you leave. Plus, the bags have some candy in them, and, you know, free cup of coffee and all kinds of stuff. It's got good stuff in there, but most important, it's got the Word. So. We're going to read chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. If you dare, say amen. All right. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more, then, matters pertaining to this life? So if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you who is wise enough to settle a dispute between brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Jesus. Lord, if we could just camp there for the rest of our lives, it would be enough. Lord, we've been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been justified. And so, Lord Jesus, help us to, Lord, come to that truth today, Lord, for there are some in here who have not surrendered their life to that truth. Lord, who have not given their life over to be washed, to be sanctified, to be justified. We pray and we ask today that this would be the day that they surrender. Father, for those of us who have been, Lord, and maybe are stepping aside, maybe who are messing with something we shouldn't be messing with, Lord, would you help us to remember we've been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been justified. And so, Father, I pray and I ask that today, Lord, we would rejoice in that truth. And so let your truth ring true to us. In your name, for your glory, amen. All right, have a seat. You ever have a grievance against somebody? Okay, so there's a few perfect ones out there. Has anybody had a grievance against you? Even if it wasn't your fault. Like, is this one of those things like, I did nothing wrong. I don't know why they have an issue with me, but they have a grievance, right? Everybody should be covered in one of those categories, okay? We've all had grievances. It's one of those things. And now, there are some minor grievances that are pretty easy to just work out, right? And there's some that, like, don't even need a second anything. It's just, you know, whatever. Maybe they're just having a bad day. It really didn't bother, you know, this, that, and the other. So Paul talks about these grievances. He says, when one of you have a grievance against another, he says, you guys aren't taking care of it in-house. Right? Now the grievance, he doesn't specifically call out, like, how big a deal this is. But what they're doing is they're going to court. They're going to the law. And so in Greek culture, in all of the cultures that are in play here when Paul writes this, there's Roman culture, there's Greek culture, there's Jewish culture, there's all the other cultures believed and practiced that you take care of it in-house. Jewish customs, they didn't take stuff outside. And we even see that, right? The only reason they took Jesus to Pilate to have him crucified is because they weren't allowed to crucify him. They weren't allowed for capital punishment. That wasn't their call. But you know what they did? They got to tell Pilate, yeah, we want him crucified. You remember when Pilate says, man, you guys handle this. You have your own system. You guys do that. So the Romans practiced that. The Jews practiced that. It was all taken care of in-house. Well, what happens is the Greek culture starts to influence here. As the church goes out from Jerusalem, as it goes out from Israel, and it starts to go out into Gentile nations, what happens is now that the church is set inside these other religions and these other practices and these other things, the Greek culture had really swept the world. Remember Alexander the Great and everything that happened? So the Greek culture was everywhere. Well, here's the thing about the Greek culture. The Greek culture, they love going to court. How many of you have gotten one of those summons that says, jury duty? How many of you are like, yeah, baby, yeah, I'm getting $5 a day or whatever it is now? Any of you? How many of your bosses were like, man, I'm so glad you got jury duty. Like, it's we're just going to, you know, right? Most of the time when you get jury duty, you're just like, ugh. I have only met one person, and it's because he's retired, who has recently, in this past year, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but he's up in the box. Anyway, who is like, man, but no, here's the thing. It was a really good conversation because he's like, I got jury duty, and I'm actually a little excited, right? He's like, I get to go to jury duty, and we should be. You know why? Because we belong to Christ. And there needs to be more Christians sitting in juries and being willing to sit in juries for what? For truth and justice and all that stuff to reign. And so, like, it's not from the wrong. I just don't get it, right? I mean, it's just... So here's the thing. In Greek culture, there's statements that basically every man was equal to a lawyer. Because their whole lives were all about listening to these cases and listening to these offenses and listening to put a jury duty together. They would gather 40, 60, 100 people to come and listen to these cases. And they would sit all day long listening to these cases because that's what they enjoyed doing. They enjoyed just sitting around listening to all these things and getting to decide and getting to judge. And so we see that that's the outside world. Now, Paul says, listen, when you guys have a grievance, you guys are going to those courts. You're going, and so many times you have this grievance, and you're going to this court. You're going to this Greek court. You're going to this Gentile court to decide things and to decide matters that you should be deciding inside. And now he's going to talk about how some of that decision needs to be made, how we need to handle this, which we'll get into. But the point here, he says, listen, you guys are flaunting your failure. You're flaunting your failure that the fact is that you're going to the world to decide things because you're different. Paul is making a distinction here. We as Christians are supposed to not just sound different, we're supposed to look different, we're supposed to act different, and I'm not saying better. Because the heart of a true Christian knows that, listen, we are better because Christ is the best. And so anything we have that's good, anything that we have of righteousness, anything that we have of sanctification is Christ and Christ alone. Amen? So when we know that we're different, it's because what Christ has done in us and what he continues to do in us. It's the Holy Spirit guiding and leading and changing and transforming our lives. And so it's not better, like I'm better than you. It's I've been set free. I'm being changed. I'm being transformed. I look more like Christ. There should be a difference in the people who not go to church. How many people do you know who go to church who don't look any different than the world? And this is not a judgy thing. Because the world, the church, has allowed the world to influence the church instead of the church being the influencer of the world. You know why? Because we're afraid that we'll have to what?
No.
Stand for truth.
No.
We're not afraid that we'll have to change. We proclaim that Jesus Christ changes us every day. That's what we proclaim.
It's okay.
We're afraid that they won't accept us.
What do you see? What do you hear?
And so we'll welcome the change that Christ makes as long as it's inside this setting. But once we go out, right? Once we go out, we're like, oh man, I got to look different. I got to act different. And it's going to be tough. You know what's much easier? You just come in and be part of us, and we'll start to change how we do things so that you feel comfortable. Church is not for us to feel comfortable. And you're like, wait a second, I want to go to church where I feel comfortable. You shouldn't. You should want to go to a church where you feel convicted, where you feel welcome, where you feel like this is a place you can confess and be healed. It's not about your comfort. It's about being transformed. Transformation is not easy. Everybody knows what a bodybuilder is, right? You ever see a bodybuilder sat on his couch all day? Man, those are huge muscles. Yeah, you know, I just... What's the video game now? I just play the Nintendo, whatever it is. I just sit around playing, and these muscles just happen. And you're like, yeah, right. Because here's the truth. Even with steroids, that ain't true. Right? No, it takes a bunch of hard work, and it takes this. And so, why aren't we all bodybuilders? Because you're like, I'll go do my bike for 10 minutes, and I'm good. Because to do that, it means I have to let my body be torn and to be broken and right to be rebuilt and all these types of, and it's hard. And so we're not all bodybuilders because we don't want to do that. But here's the thing. If we're in Christ, standing in the truth and being different is going to be hard work like that. This is why we come together. This is why we are the ones to help one another. We shouldn't go to the outside world to handle and deal with our grievances. The grievances should be dealt here. It should be like, hey, brother, hey, sister, I got this. You said this thing. Man, were you trying to offend me? Because it took offense.
Have you ever been offended by somebody, and then when you address them, they're like, oh, I didn't mean that at all, right? And you're like, oh, and it's kind of made it better. Maybe I heard something wrong, right? Spouses, husband, let's just go husbands. Your wife ever come and say, you said this, and you're like, no, right? And not just because we forget, because, you know, it's, you know. But you're like, no, I'm telling you, I didn't say that. And she's like, you did. And this is what you meant. And you're like, whoa, that's not what I meant. That's not. And so here's the thing. We have these grievances, but in your marital relationship, right, your wife comes to you or your husband comes to you. How many of you, when your kids do something wrong, you just say, it's okay. Maybe the grievance is against you. Maybe the grievance is just a grievance. And you're like, hey, listen, that's not how you live life. This is not life. For the purpose of being different, for the purpose of being right. And so Paul's saying here, listen, you guys are flaunting the fact that you're part of the culture. That you let all these quote-unquote wise people judge what's taking place inside the church. Now here's the difference. He's making this difference. You should be different. Not that you shouldn't have friends outside. Listen, you should have friends who are still of the world and who are still in the world. You should have some of those friends. But they're not the ones who are going to tell you how to live like Christ, right? I have a friend, a very dear friend, who always loves to give me great advice. But you know what? It's never godly. You know why? Because he doesn't know God. He's still a dear friend. He's trying. But he just doesn't come with the wisdom. Okay. He's not. I just don't listen to what he says. You know why? Because I'm not going to operate my life the way he operates his life. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide me. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead me. And so one of the things that Paul says here is, listen, the least in the church, if you're actually in Christ, is better than the wisest judge who is of the world. You know why? Because the person who's actually in Christ is going to say things like this. Well, what does the Bible say? Man, you got this issue. What does the Bible say? Or maybe even before they get to the Bible, well, what is God saying to you? What is God showing you? Okay, let's confirm that with the Bible, because you can also get a little wonky with that too. What's God saying? Well, God's saying I should just go get my own. Well, no, God didn't tell you that, because that's not how he works. But you see, you only come into godly wisdom, into godly counsel to operate your life. We come together to get clarification. You don't go to the world to ask how to live godly. They don't know. Satan is the one who controls the world. And so whether they know it or not, that's who they serve. Now, don't run around and be like, man, you're a Satan worshiper because you're of the world. But that's not what he's calling. Just don't go to them for what you're supposed to have inside. And so he says, here's the thing. Don't take your grievances. How many of you are like, hey, what happens in the family stays in the family? Like, you don't go and share what takes place here with them. Why? Because this is your family. And it's not. It's because things need to be taken care of inside your family. And you don't need an outside influence. Hey, parents, how many of you don't want everybody else raising your children for you? Anybody? Okay, thank you. Because I'm like, oh, man, we need a different sermon here. Like, it's, right? And so we don't want other people raising our children. Why? Because you, what? Because you, listen, hear me out. Because you know what's best for your children. According to how you were raised, according to where you are in your life now, to where, and so you don't let somebody who is complete opposite from who you are raise your children. And so when you come into the body, the gathered body, when you're united, you don't take the dirty laundry that takes place in here and take it outside and ask for worldly wisdom. What you do is you go to a brother, you go to a sister, you go to a few of them and say, hey, listen, I have this issue. We're afraid to. Because we're afraid to air our dirty laundry because, you know what, we might look like sinners. We might look like people who need grace and mercy. Or maybe this. We've tried and we haven't received it from the people that call us brother and sister. I'm not saying there's no danger in this. I'm not saying that transparency, I'm not saying that sharing and openness is going to be easy all the time. But it should be. And so as a church, as a body, that's one of the things we need to pray for. As a body, it's one of the things we need to get to and be like, okay, Lord, let this be this place that is welcome. Welcome to make confession. Welcome to bring grievances. Welcome to say, hey, listen, we got to have a hard conversation. We're going to have a hard conversation. But you know what it's going to take? Lord, I give all of my rights that I think that I have over to you. It's going to take that. And instead of going to the world and saying, hey, you know what? Somebody in the church hurt me. How many of you have been hurt by a church? Just put it up. Like, I mean, let's. How many of you have been hurt by a church? I'm a pastor here. I've been hurt by a church, right? We're not going to never be hurt by a church because, again, going back to that point, guess what? Hurt people are here. Just because you're hurt doesn't mean you bash your brothers. How many of your parents told you you had to make up with your brother or sister when you got in a fight? Right? Why? To restore the relationship. Like, he didn't say, you know what? No, don't worry. He doesn't have to be your brother anymore. Right? He doesn't have to be your brother. Just, you know what? Well, let's just kick him out of the house. Kick him out of the house, right? I'm the older brother, so yeah, I'm good with that. Right? Just, you know. But I got older sisters, so I was like, wait, I'm in danger. You see why our rights have to just be set aside? Because you all sit in a place to where you grieve somebody, right? Somebody has a grievance against you, and you also have a grievance against somebody else. You hurt people as much as you can. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. And so you know where it should be taken care of? Right here. Right here. By the truth of God's word, led by his spirit. Healing takes place because of his spirit, not because of us, but because of our willingness to say, okay, listen, I'm going to surrender to whatever happens here. I'm going to surrender to this. And so instead of flaunting failures and be like, well, I had to leave that church because of this and this and this, and they just hurt me, and they just this, and they just this, and they just this. No, no, no. Did you take your issue to them? Or did you take it to the world? How many people have you, as you talked to, they said, oh, the church hurt me, and so they're just living in the world, and they're just taking all that complaint, and all they do is they start bad-mouthing the church. Instead of just going to your brother or your sister. Now here's, it's going to get heavy by the time we get a little deeper into this. Because he's actually says this, it's better for you to just be wrong. Let's not talk about that yet. Not just yet. He says, listen, there's a difference between the world and between you, because you're saints and they're unrighteous. And so there's a difference between the two of you. Our law courts are based on the law and this, that, and the other. And so guess what? We're all guilty of something. But the ability to judge is in the believer's court. And you're like, wait, I thought we weren't supposed to judge each other. No. We are supposed to judge one another. In fact, he calls us to. In this, he says, listen, I actually point this out to your shame. Remember, you're not supposed to shame anybody like this, that, and the other. No, there's a time where shame is a very effective tool. This is one of those times where Paul says, no, I actually say this to your shame. You guys are you're horsing around, and you're letting the world decide things that need to take place here. You should be ashamed of that. Because you've stepped over your brothers and your sisters, and you've gone to somebody who doesn't actually belong to the family. And so he says, here's the thing, that is a huge failure. He says, here's the deal. You have the ability to judge inside. You know why you have the ability to judge? Not because you're so smart. Listen, some of you are smart. Some of you are wise. Some of you have all kinds of stuff. But that's not why you have the ability to judge. In the church, you have the ability to judge if you're in Christ, because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Because he takes his word and applies it to his people for his glory, for his truth. And so if you're in Christ today, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And as he lives inside of you, he guides you and he leads you. If you'll be surrendered to that, if you'll listen, if you'll follow. And then he's given you his word to just confirm everything, to have the truth, to go back to. And so you have everything. You have the ability, not because you're so wonderful, because he's so mighty and powerful and great. And so we can handle all things according to this. Now, Paul's not saying that there's not a place for the outside courts. How many of you have ever gotten a speeding ticket? Excuse me, officer, you're not a member of my church. I'd like you just to go ahead and just keep on driving. If you try that, don't say that the pastor encouraged you to do so. How about this? Anybody know somebody who needed to go file for a restraining order? so you needed to go to the law, the law, to get a protection right outside. There's a place for the law. Paul's not saying, listen, there's no place for the courts, there's no place for the law, there's no place for any of that. Have anybody ever been sued? You ever been sued? If you've gone to court, you've been sued, just so you know. How about this? Divorce runs rampant. Anybody divorced? Right? If they filed for divorce, then guess what? You've been sued. You've been sued for divorce. Now, you go to the judge and say, like, hey, listen, Your Honor, like, none of this is actually going to take any precedent. None of this is true because I belong to Christ. No, no, no. There's a place for the courts. There's a place for the law. Paul's not saying that. Paul's saying stuff that should be taking place inside because you're believers, because you belong to Christ. That needs to happen here, not out there. You don't take this stuff to the law, but there is a place for the law. God has established the law. God has done those things. He's put the government in place, all those types of things. There is a place for that. But Paul says, man, the stuff inside, because you're Christians, because you belong to Him, needs to be dealt with inside. Inside. Listen, the church can't grant you a restraining order. The church can't grant these certain things. The law has to do that. And so there's a place for it. Paul says, man, you're taking these grievances, and you're taking the things that should be taking place inside the court, that should be handled inside the church, you're taking them to the outside world. And he brings this whole thing of, don't you know that you're going to judge angels? And so he talks about a qualification, right? This ability you have. Jesus said, one day, you'll sit on His throne, right with Him. And you're like, oh man, this is heresy. No, it's what Jesus said. Jesus said, one day you'll sit on His throne. Remember, He talks to the 12 disciples and He says, hey, listen, you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. You're going to sit in judgment over them. We're like, wow, pretty cool. Remember, Peter asked, Lord, we've given up everything. What are we going to get? How many of you are looking for what you're going to get? Listen, it's not wrong. Jesus answers this question. And Jesus actually tells them, this is what you're going to get. You're going to sit on the throne and you're going to judge angels. You're going to judge people. You're going to, and so you're like, wow. Now here's the thing. You think Jesus is going to be like, okay, listen, I've done this for a little while. I'm a little tired. I just want you to come and just go ahead and bring all of whatever you've got. I just want you to start judging that way. No. How are you going to judge? Through Christ, by Christ, and for Christ. And so He says, you have the ability because of Him. And so He says, listen, you have this destiny and this hope. How many of you are hoping for heaven? Right? You're like, man, that's where I'm headed. Right? And so you've placed all your hope and you count on all of this in this destiny that He's given. So start living like it here. How in the world are you going to judge angels when you can't even settle some disputes inside the church? And so here's the thing, and here's what a lot of people don't want to hear. You know what the Bible says? You know what the Holy Spirit says? You know what Paul says? You know what Jesus says? Grow up! Grow up and act like My people! Put your selfishness away. Put all of these things away. Listen, this destiny is already secured for you. He says you will judge angels. You will do this, and so you can handle what's happening in the church. That's why He says, listen, the least of you should be able to handle these things. Because you have the Holy Spirit of God, because you have the Word of God. And so when the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it to the people of God, guess what? Truth wins. And so He says, I say this to you, Shane. You're going to court. You're taking brothers. You're taking brothers and sisters. He says you shouldn't be in any type of lawsuit with a brother or sister. You're like, whoa, what do you mean any type of lawsuit? I mean any type of lawsuit. So, Pastor, you said that there's a place for the law, and there's a place for the courts, and there's a place for yeah. You know why? That's because when the world comes against you, there's a place where the world operates, and there's a place where all of this happens, but inside the church, like, you shouldn't be taking a brother or sister to court. You shouldn't be suing them. And you're like, what if? Okay, what if? Who likes the what if game, right? What if he borrows my truck, okay? Borrows my truck, and all four tires come back flat. The bed is smashed. Right? I'm talking about, like, I can't even open the, I got to crawl in through the passenger side now because, like, I don't know what he did. But, man, he just, like, completely destroyed my truck, and he's not going to pay for it. Oh. If you're rich, you're like, I'll just buy another truck. No, that's not the point. How about this? This is the only vehicle you got. And this brother destroyed this thing. I mean, like, destroyed this thing. You don't have the money to get tires. You don't have the money for any of this stuff. And you're like, you know what? He's not going to take care of it. He's not going to pay for it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sue him. That's the only way I'm going to get my stuff. Paul says, nope, not even then. And you're like, wait a second. Don't I have a... No, you don't. Because he says, if you belong to Christ, then it's better for you to be wrong. It's better for you to... And he uses two words here. He says, wronged and cheated. Now, wronged is this. Like, hey, brother, I know I borrowed your truck. I didn't see the thing in the median. I hit it. Next thing I know, I'm driving on four flat tires. I hit the accelerator instead of the brake. I ended up in the ditch. Like, and you know I can't pay for it. You see, that's wrong, right? You were wrong. Like, I can't pay for it. I don't know what we're going to do. You were wrong. Cheated is this. Oh, man, thanks for loaning me your truck. I drove it like I stole it. And you know what happened? We rolled down a cliff, and it just, you know, I barely made it back alive. That's cheated. And you're like, so one deserves something, and one doesn't. No, both. He says it's better that you're wrong and cheated. Because you belong to
Well,
God.
Yeah, baby.
That's what he says. And you're like, man, that's costly. Really? Is it really costly?
Well, yeah, darling.
It's not.
Well, yeah, darling.
It's not.
Come on.
Jesus.
Come on up here and say hello. Come on up here and say hello to me. Come on up here and say hello to me. Hey.
And as you prepare the best case you can, make sure that they don't not only deny your truth, but you go ahead and get sued for false, for slander, for false accusation. Obviously, did Jesus say that? He says, men, when they sue you for your cloak, give to them also your tunic. How about this? When they demand you go a mile, you go. Somebody's cheating you. Somebody's wronging you. Let them. Not only let them, start praying for them. And don't pray like, Lord, this is a wicked person here. And you know how bad they're cheating me. So I just, you know, Lord, I'm not saying kill them.
What?
I'm just
saying,
make it hurt them really, really bad.
No licky. No licky.
He says, you're better to be
no
wrong
licky.
With joy. Be cheated
no
with
licky.
Joy. One time
what?
I did this work for this guy.
What are you growling at?
Almost $17,000. And there was nothing wrong with work. Like the work, he was a very angry person. He's a very angry person.
I love you.
And,
I love you.
So he owed me, he said,
I
project.
Love you.
And there was a couple little scratches. It was a metal, we put a metal building up. There's a couple little scratches on the outside of the building. Nothing detrimental, nothing, right? But this guy was so angry. And so I went to hit the where he worked to get the
there
stand.
You go.
He says, I'm not gonna
there you go. There
inside
you go.
I was as red as that shirt right there, right? And so we have this guy, and it was all civilized at this point. It was all civilized at this point. And he's on and I'm mad. And so I left, and I thought that I was doing the right thing. I was just like, I'm going to leave before I hurt this guy. Just listen, your pastor has a past, right? It's like, I'm going to leave before I hurt this guy, because, like, I'm just getting that angry. And so I get in my truck, and I tell you what, you know how when you get in your truck and, like, you start it, and you, like, try to rip the key out of the thing, and you just slam it into drive, and you just, and, you know, you're just driving like that. And so that's how I was driving. So I was driving. You know, it wasn't real far. I didn't even make it one block. I didn't even make it one block. And you know what the Lord says? The Lord says, he doesn't have the peace that you have. Okay, Lord. So I have your peace. Because I have you. But this, I'm still being wrong. I'm still being cheated. I'm still being... And he's like, but what you have in me is more than he'll ever have. And I was like, okay. So I'm talking within two city blocks. I'm like I'm going from like red hot to where like I really want to hurt somebody to like, okay, you know what? You're absolutely right. It's okay to be wrong to cheat us. Now here's, you know, don't you ever just like want the Lord to just like, okay, that's enough, Lord. Like, let's just stop right there, and I'm good. Like, I learned my lesson. Like, we're good. Well, the Lord has more. He says, okay, go around. I want you to turn around. I want you to go in there, and I want you to tell him about me. But Lord, I'm good. Like, I don't need the money. Like, you've settled that. You're good. And he says, go give him the peace that I've given you. Okay. So, you got to walk in different. When you walk, when you storm out of a place, 5 minutes later to walk back in, like, you're either going to, like, storm back in and do some damage, or you got to be humbled, right? And so the Lord humbled me. And so I walk in, and the guy's kind of like, okay. You know, I was like, hey, I just want you to know. You don't have to pay me. It's fine. I'm not going to sue you. Because, you know, as a contractor, I had it right. I could sue him. The work was done. There was nothing wrong with it. Blah, blah. You know what I mean? And just, we'll touch up a couple of, I could sue him. I could lien his property. I could do all these things. And I say, hey, here's the thing. You don't have to pay me. I'm not going to sue you. I'm not going to lien your property. I'm not going to come after you. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. I just need you to know that I have the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has comforted me in all this and says that that's not what I'm going to do. And so I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And so you're just kind of like, you know, I'm not afraid of awkward moments. And just talk about an awkward moment. And so he's like, okay. And I'm like, because what do you say? Because, you know, I'm talking, I was like, okay, that's all I had to say. Like, that's all. I just want you to know that. I said, I just want you to know that. I just, you know, I want you to have the peace. I want you to have the peace that I have. Because, man, he's talking about how, like, he's just so angry. His wife won't even spend time with him, right? And so I get ready to leave, and he says, hey, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'm gonna fix these things, you know, these things that he said. He's like, and then I'm going to send you a check. Right? Then I'm going to send you a check. Okay, don't worry about it. That's not the point of this. I never got the check. And I don't say that because, like, I never got the check. I'm so holy. Oh, wow. No. I never got the check because the Lord had already settled that. It wasn't important. I didn't need it. It wasn't important. I had a peace that money couldn't buy. And I got an opportunity to hopefully share that peace with him so that he, right, could seek after that same peace. And I tell you, when we truly set aside our rights, when we just are obedient to the Lord and we just set aside our rights and we let people, like don't run around being like, hey, I'm here to take advantage, right? I'm here. Like, I got sucker written on my head, so just come and find me and take advantage of me. No, no, no. This is one of those things, like, when people do it, just be wronged and just be cheated. And don't just sit back and be like, okay, well, I'm wronged and I'm cheated. No, 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 no. What is he giving you to do in response? Because you just being okay is not a response. Okay, I want you to hear this. When God does something in your life, when he shows you something, when he's transforming you, when he's changing you, there's a response that's required. It's not just, I'm going to sit back and I'm just going to sit in this. No, no, no. He always calls you to share that somehow, some way. You're responsible to share what God is doing or has done in your life, to share that with somebody else. It is not for you to keep. It is for you to share. As you freely receive, freely give. Jesus says that, right? What did you do to earn the grace that God has shown you? What did you do to receive the mercy that Jesus has shown you? And so since you've received all of the grace, and since you've received all of the mercy, you are to go and give it likewise. Like when you're like, okay, you split, I choose, that kind of throws it out. Here's the thing. It makes you, even with a beautiful Snickers bar, it makes you say, you know what? If it's going to benefit you, you can have it. And not just like, right? Like, and they put their hand on it, and you're just like, no, it's like, you can give it freely. Because it means to give it freely. And so he says, hey, listen, especially in the church, Even if a brother is wronging you or cheating you, it's better for you to be wronged than cheated. It's a greater testimony to the truth of the salvation of Jesus Christ than it is you getting what you want. What do you really have that's really important? Like if you're serious, if you were to just kind of like go through your life right now, you know what, I'm going to ask you to actually do that right now. I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think just for a moment. What do you really have in your life that's important? What do you have in your life that's really important, that is like the most important? That you're like, man, if I lost this, I don't know how I would make it. Or if this was taken from me, I don't know what I would do. When you have that, just keep your head bowed and your eyes closed for a second. When you have that, just put your hand up and say, man, I got it. I know what that is. I know what that is. For those of you who are still thinking, you just keep thinking, but I want you to listen to this. Those of you who raised your hand, those of you who are still thinking, if it's something material, it's wrong. As the Lord said, rust and moth will destroy you. You're not, you know, you've heard this. You're not taking any of that with you. So, right, so why do we live for that now? Now, if the things that you can't live without are things like your children, you know, your spouse, these relationships, now you're starting to get in the right realm. And the fact that Jesus Christ died for everybody who sits in this building right now and shed his blood for each and every one of us exactly the same. He gave what was most valuable to who was least worthy. It had nothing to do with material stuff. It had everything to do with you being able to be restored or brought into a relationship with God. And so everything he did for us, everything he gave for us was for us to be in a right relationship with him. All of the other relationships would flow out of that. And so the thing that we can't live without, first and foremost, is the forgiveness, the grace and the mercy, the love of God. And then everything that flows from that, did you hear me? It flows from that. So everything is brought back against that truth. Everything is brought back to that light. And so it's like, okay, this person, even this person in the church, this person who proclaims to be a Christian, this person who proclaims this, that, right, this. And so instead of just saying, well, you know what, they're probably not a Christian, and so I'm just going to let, no. Set all of that aside. And say, okay, Lord Jesus, you gave your life for them the same as you did for me. And so the grievance that I have is no different than the grievance that you had. In fact, it's not even in comparison. Because when I think of the ways that I had grieved the Lord, that I had grieved the Holy Spirit, that I had grieved the salvation that I so clearly knew about for so long, the fact that God would forgive me and that he's forgiven all of us, and he died for us the same, it really makes me to understand that, man, even if you wrecked my truck, right, some stupid chunk of metal, even if you burnt my house down, even if you stole everything from my bank account, in all of that, it wouldn't matter. You know why? Because Christ died for you the same. So my response, Lord, would it be that it would lead them to you? You see, because that's what's important. This stuff you have here on earth, it's nothing compared to what you have in heaven. And so we should not hold on to anything that we have here. You know why God has given it to you? To be a steward of it. You get to enjoy it as a steward, but just to be a steward of it. And whenever we allow grievances, whenever we allow hurts, whenever we allow wrongs to rule and to reign, we are not actually being stewards of the things God has given us. Because we hold back. We hold back forgiveness. We hold back love. We hold back whatever. It's because we're trying to live in a right that we don't actually have. So, church, I'm going to ask you, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're here today and you said, man, I've just been holding on. I've just been holding on to this for so long. And I'm not willing to forgive certain people. I'm not willing to forgive this church. I'm not willing to forgive whatever it is. And I'm just not willing. I've just been holding this, and I've been holding this, and I've been holding this. If you're here today and you have that kind of grievance, hey, listen, today, just set it aside. Just set it aside. Set it aside, like, out of sight, out of mind. No, set it aside because it's not important. And be like, okay, Lord Jesus, I'm just going to let go of this. Because I want to walk in your victory. I want to walk in your power. I want to walk in your forgiveness. And so if you're here today and you've been holding on to something, hey, maybe today is the day you need to forgive. Maybe you just need to go and grant that forgiveness. Maybe they're not even asking for it. And be careful. I mean, don't take it. But maybe they don't even know that they've wronged you. But would you just deal with that in your heart right now? Say, okay, Lord, I want forgiveness to take place here. I remember being wronged one time, and it just hurt so bad in every which way. I remember that, and just working through it. It was a process. But I remember the moment. I can't tell you the date. I can't tell you the time. I just remember the moment to where, like, forgiveness actually came to my heart. And to where the forgiveness was like, man, if I saw that person, I would ask him how they were doing. And I would be looking for an opportunity for them to know Jesus.
No.
See, that's what forgiveness starts to look like.
No.
He says, listen, inside the church.
No.
Man, if you have a grievance.
No.
Bring it to a brother. Bring it to a sister. Man, if you're red hot angry, then take it to him and say, listen, I got to tell you, I'm angry. And if you're afraid you won't do it right, then get somebody to go with you. Not to bash somebody, but just to keep the peace, just come together, just have a wise third party and say, okay, listen, how are we going to deal with this? This place has to be different. This place has to be a place of forgiveness and grace and mercy. If you don't belong to Christ, they're going to try to rip every bit from you that they can. But we need to edify one another. Maybe you're here today and you're like, okay, yeah, this is good. I just don't know how. Today's your lucky day. Here's how. You just come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you come, when the Lord, he tells the centurion, he says, hey, listen, if you believe, and he says, I believe, but I need help with my unbelief. We have a Savior who says, listen, bring your unbelief to me as well. You just take that little bit and you say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I know that I'm supposed to. You see, it's called surrender. And so maybe today it's the first time you're actually going to surrender. You're going to say, okay, Lord Jesus, I just surrender to your will. Even if I'm wrong, even if that means I'm cheated, I'm outcome. Because I've surrendered to you. And so maybe today, for the first time in your life, you actually surrender your life. You give it over to Jesus Christ and to his will. You say, well, I don't know. Is there special words? Is there something? Yeah, it's just, Lord, I surrender. Like the song says, I surrender all. This is between you and the Lord. The Holy Spirit's already telling you what you need to say. He's already telling you what you need to confess. He's already telling you what you need to believe. And so just respond to him. What he's saying, what he's doing, what he's showing. And it'll always be covered in grace and mercy. And so don't let today pass without dealing with this. Because unforgiveness, because holding a grudge, because all of those things will just destroy you. They'll just destroy you. And if you're like, man, I'm dealing with something, I just need some help. I just need some wisdom. Grab a brother and sister, not who proclaims to be wise. The Bible tells us to be careful of those people. Grab a brother and sister who says, you know what, here's the thing. We're going to pray through this, we're going to get the Bible, and we're going to come to what God says about this. Find that person. Not that person who wants to lead you because they're so smart. No, that person who wants to just come in and invite Christ into the situation. Find that person. Or those people. Find them. That's where you're going to find truth. Pray with me, Father, as we come together today, Lord Jesus. We think that you, Lord, you've given everything against our grievances and against, Lord, you've done everything. You call us into this relationship. You call us into correction. You call us into forgiveness. Lord, and you continue to show us, Lord, how you're transforming us, how you're making us new. And so, Lord, I pray and I ask that we would take what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing with us, and, Lord, we would share that with others. That we would grant the same forgiveness. That, Lord, we would all come to your truth. That we would be settled and united according to your word. By your Spirit, that we would look different. Lord, we wouldn't just proclaim to have love, that, Lord, we would be love. And so, Lord Jesus, those who are struggling, we pray and we ask that you would just ease their burdens. Lord, we know that forgiveness is not always easy, so help us to forgive. Lord, help us to be wronged and to be cheated. Lord, thank you for taking every wrong and every cheating that I've ever done, that Lord, any of us have ever done, that you took all of that on the cross. And you gave us something we didn't deserve. And so, Father, it's for your glory. Jesus, it's for your sake. And Holy Spirit, it's in your power. Amen. All right, church, don't waste this time. Don't waste this time. Don't waste this truth. Whatever the Holy Spirit has shown you, whatever he's moving, hey, go take care of that. Handle that today. There's coffee, there's snacks, but what's most important is there's people to have relationship with. Amen? All right. Go meet somebody new.